connecting to the real nerds is so easy. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account, at Real Nerds. We also have Instagram. You can call us, 720-6NERDS5. You want to email us? You can do that too, realnerds@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Denver Comic Con 2016. We have a fantastic interview lined up for you. Enjoy.
We are live to tape at Denver Comic Con 2016. It's day 3, and I'm here with Ellie Ann. Ellie, say hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on the show. So you are an author.
Yes, I am.
Cool. So what kind of books do you write?
I write science fiction, fantasy, and I have 2 comics in production right now.
Really?
Man, yes.
You are prolific is what you are then.
That's right. I have 9 books out.
Wow.
And then I have 5 more under contract for the next year. So
wow.
It's really exciting. But don't be too impressed because those 5 are kids' books.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like anyone can do that.
Yeah, you just throw that trash. Like, who cares about what kids are reading? Like, that's not hard at all.
Okay, no, but I have a question for you. Like,
sure, yeah.
How many kids' books have you seen around this con as opposed to, like, the market for kids' books here? Isn't it amazing how few there are?
So I'll be honest, it's a tough question for me to ask because I've been stuck behind this booth for the last 3 days.
Okay.
But, you know, it's interesting. We've actually had, I would say, yes, this is a place where you could get a lot more kids' books out there, especially because you've got stuff like the children's area and all of these platforms where, because Denver Comic Con is a fundraiser for Pop Culture Classroom, and so it's focused towards teaching kids to read and literacy and all of that stuff. I would expect there to be certainly a lot more. Now, at the same time, you know, they're here to entertain everybody. I've had a number of people, though, come by. I talked to an amazing woman, Dr. Monin, who was here yesterday, who she's a comic book writer, but she works in a very specific space. So she writes comic books that are that teach kids how to read comic books, how to write comic books, sort of the unspoken literacy of the visual side of comic books.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that.
And I think there's stuff here, but I will also say that in talking to her, I was like, man, like, this is a person who should have a panel here, who should have more involvement in this thing. So yeah, I do think that there's certainly more room for it. You know, because yeah, it's a really cool show and a great opportunity to meet kids on that level. It's funny, my co-host, his son, who's almost 2 years old, was here yesterday, and we realized at one point that for him, he's looking around, and suddenly, all of this stuff is real. Like, when he sees Star Wars, Stormtroopers are going to be real, and he knows Spider-Man already. Spider-Man's clearly real, because he's met him 15 times, right? Like, it's amazing what an opportunity this is for kids of any age, and they're all having a lot of fun, it seems like, so.
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old, and you know, we'll be watching a movie like Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, and then she'll turn to me and she'll be like, is this real? And I'll be like, actually no, this isn't real, it isn't a part of our history. And yeah. Then you know, we'll be reading like some biography or a history book, and she'll be like, is this real?
Like, yes,
you know,
this
like
real.
It's amazing because they have no concept of, you know, fantasy and reality yet, so it's just so special.
Yeah. I wish this place had been around when I was a kid.
Yeah, right?
I would have grown up to be an even more insufferable nerd than I am now.
It would have been like the brainwashing, for sure.
Oh, would have ruined me for life, right?
Uh-huh.
I would have spent all of my time building costumes and, yeah, and honestly, I probably would be happier, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great show. So, cool. So, tell people about your comic book. So, you're writing them now, or you've written a few?
I've written, the one in production right now is called Rebel. It's an all-ages science fiction that's illustrated by the amazing Vince Medellin. He's based out of Kansas City, and we are just, like, the best partners ever.
Awesome.
And Rebel takes place in a like, mining moon, and everyone on there are either slaves or guards.
Okay.
So it centers around this 14-year-old named Scout. And one morning they wake up and everyone over the age of 18 has been sold. So the
so just the kids left.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So the
what do we do?
The story is he has to, you know, form an escape plan. So this is basically like, you know, an escape prison breakout story.
Yeah.
And then he has to team up with, you know, all these kids with special abilities because there are so many different alien races in this story. And I'm really, really passionate about seeing everyone and relating to everyone in my stories.
Yeah.
And so... whether it's an alien or whether it's a bisexual person or whatever, like basically there, you know, I just want to see like a bunch of different characters in my stories all the time.
Yeah. So, how does your process change when you're going to write a comic as opposed to a novel or a children's book?
Yeah.
Where you've got to involve the storytelling with the arts, right?
Yeah.
Do you give your artists a lot of leeway to like, okay, look, this is what this panel's got to be. I need your help on how the panel should flow and that kind of stuff. Do you guys have that kind of a partnership, or do you sometimes have a pretty strong opinion on like, look, I think the page needs to look like this and it needs to flow like this because of what's coming up?
I don't have a strong opinion on anything. Like, I have a strong opinion on making it the best that it can.
Yeah.
And so if I think that my idea is the best that it can, then I'll be like, hey, I think that this is the best. And
yeah.
Then we'll talk about it. But as far as once you get your ego out of your storytelling,
sure.
It improves, you know, collaboration so much. But I have worked with artists who really desire that close contact. Like, I want you to give me details and tell me everything yeah. about what you want on this panel. But then, like, Vince, you know, I'm like, he's flying through the air on a jetpack. And the jetpack is old and looks like it's about to, you know, come apart.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, takes it away from there.
Yeah.
But then again, we talk a lot about, you know, character and world development before you reach, you know, that point.
Yeah.
So
gives him a lot of freedom to do his own storytelling and bring his own talent to the story and say, hey, I want to add this into the world and I want to build this a little differently and, like,
yeah.
bring my own style to it. I think that's a fantastic
because if you don't trust your artists, then why are you working with them?
Absolutely.
You know, like, I want to trust their story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So what about the children's books? Tell me a little bit about your children's books.
Yes. Well, one that I'm really excited about is that I took... there's, you know, a list of first grade federal sight words that are taught, you know, throughout the country. And so, and then I took public domain classics and then wrote first grade readers out of them.
Oh.
So I have the first three books in the series are Jane Eyre, Beowulf, and Les Mis as easy readers.
Cool.
And so I'm really passionate about those stories anyway, but I've
yeah.
like, I've just like tried to just recognize the theme,
yeah.
you know? So like the theme in Jane Eyre is how she was lonely and then she found love and then she, you know, gave up that love because it was bad for her,
mm-hmm.
and, you know? And so that's what that easy reader is about. And then, you know, Beowulf is about how he's this huge douchebag that like thinks that he's like so great.
I feel like Beowulf was about like being a book that when I read it, literally made like hair grow on my chest because it was just so badass.
It is so manly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He just Seamus, cut off arms.
Seamus Heaney's Beowulf is just... You could just hear my voice drop when I talk about it.
I mean, he was like fighting a monster naked.
Yeah,
it can't
yeah.
get much baller
really
than that.
Is. It really is. He's just like, you want to fight me, but I got to take off all my clothes.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an awesome idea for a book series. It's funny. We were having a conversation with somebody yesterday. It's all running together now.
Oh, I'm sure.
About how kids today... you know, the culture is so infused and so built on top of itself that you get all these references where, I mean, it was certainly true for me. I was of the Animaniacs generation, right? So
yeah.
there were all these jokes in the Animaniacs that then when I became an adult and I started learning like who Jerry Lewis was and all this other stuff, I was like, oh, that's why that was funny. I didn't know why it was funny as a kid.
Yeah.
And to be able to expose some of that very basic culture to kids at a young age, I think is really powerful and gives them a really fantastic springboard into literacy and literature and culture. So that's a great model. Cool.
There's always a reason also why these classics, whether it's, you know, a classic story or a classic like Harry Potter that just appeals to so many people. There's a reason why they appeal to so many people or why they've lasted so long. You know, it's like there's this innate kind of stream of consciousness that we all, not all of us, but a lot of us relate to. And so, I mean, that's the power of art and storytelling.
So for you, the focus is when you look at one of those stories to say, okay, what is really the... what's really the lesson here? What's really the tone?
Yes.
I want to keep that real and then strip everything down to its bones and tell the story at a level that kids can relate to. Right.
I mean, like, how many revenge stories are out there?
All of them. They're all out there. They've all been told.
I know, but then they're still being made because we relate to that.
Absolutely.
We're saying, like, there's no justice in this world, and I want to see justice happen any way that I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. Awesome.
What?
I think that's fantastic. I think it's a really great model. And then you've also got science fiction novels as well that you've written.
That's right. The Silver Sickle is in a Persian science fiction setting that has steampunk elements.
Cool.
And this girl's trapped in a harem, and she has to take down the alien regime. But then there are some robot guards that become her allies, and so it kind of becomes a alien versus robot story.
Awesome. That sounds really badass.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
So you can pick that up in, like, you know, your library, your bookseller, or Amazon, whatever you prefer.
Sweet. So... is there anything else that you're working on now that you know, you're just starting to, you know, it's on the back burner and you're really excited about?
It's those children's books.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's those easy readers. And then I also have a couple chapter books coming out. One is called Nick Saint versus, and it's about a normal boy in a family of geniuses, and they tackle environmental hazards.
Cool.
So, like, the first book is about the bee crisis. The second book is about... pesticides on crops, you know, but then they're like really funny, light, and really fast, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, at probably like a third grade reading level. So
yeah.
I'm really excited about those, man. I can't wait.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. All right. So how do people support you? How do they find you? What's the call to action?
Well, I am on Facebook way more than I should be. So honestly, like, that's the best way. You come find me at Ellie Ann. And there is no E-E at the end of Ann. Just saying, okay?
That's a universal rule. There is no E-E.
Yeah, come on, guys. What's with this Ann of Green Gables? And then you could find me on Twitter at Ellie Ann's Words. And I also have a website that you could buy my stuff at, ellieann.net. So please come say hi. I love chatting. I love talking about writing and nerdy stuff. And it was so great to be with you guys here at Real Nerds today.
Hey, thank you for coming on the show.
You are like a total real nerd, I want you to know.
I try to be. I try to be. Actually,
I don't.
That's not true. I don't try at all. It just happens.
You're
naturally.
Like, this is who I am. Yeah. It's my orientation.
Yeah, it's like when I first grew out a beard. It was right after I graduated from high school, and I would go into work, and people were like, "Oh, James, you're growing out a beard," and I was like, "No, this just happens. Growing implies action." So I don't choose to be a nerd. It just happens. It just
I
flows.
Wish that you guys could see his beard. It is so luscious. You have no idea.
No, you don't. But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Ellie Ann, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really great talking to you.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this exclusive interview from Real Nerds Podcast at Denver Comic Con 2016. I'd like to thank Denver Comic Con and Pop Culture Classroom for giving us this opportunity. Thanks. Bye. Real Nerds is a Nebulous Visions multimedia production. We would also like to thank Sparks Mandrill for our music. Additional music from Ben Sounds. Thank you to Alamo Drafthouse. Thank you to Colorado Coins, Cards, and Comics. And thank you for listening to the Real Nerds Podcast.